Today's date is July 22nd, 1989, and this is an oral history interview with
Kathleen Ray Newell.
Kathy, could you tell me what you were doing in the spring of 1985?
Well, I was working at the auto club as the head of the license department. We were located on 660 North Park, Ohio, Warren, Ohio.
How long had you worked for AAA?
At that point, let's see, I've been here 21 years now, so I'd be 17.
Okay. What do you remember about the day of May 31st, 1985?
What do I remember? It was hell.
Specifically,
You don't want to erase that.
No. You were working that day?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we were working. As far as the tornado goes, we heard warnings were out. It was on a Friday night. And there was a bunch of us supposed to go over to Clancy's for a night out. And I heard the warnings. And I said to the boss and one of the women that were going, I said, I don't think I'm going to go tonight. I better go home. They looked at me and said, why, you think you could stop it?
Okay, now, what time did you hear the warnings?
It was, well, let's see, it had to be around 5 o'clock, roughly. Because we got off at work at 5:15, and it was just before quitting time that I heard it. So I'd say roughly 5 o'clock.
Okay, now, the day at work, had there been anything on the radio before 5 o'clock?
Geez, I don't remember that. Not that I heard, because... Okay. If I was upstairs, it seemed like I was working up in accounting that day, and I didn't have a radio up there, or downstairs I usually have a radio. So I'm assuming, from what I can remember, it was 5 o'clock was the first I heard it.
Okay. So we're at 5 o'clock, and you're debating whether or not you're going to go out.
And they convinced me to go out.
Okay.
So we walked out of the building about 20 or 25 after 5. I want to tell you, the air was the strangest I've ever felt. I've never been in the tropics, but from what I hear about it, it seemed like it was strange. I never felt it before. By that time, one had already touched down in Bristolville, which we didn't know right then.
Okay. So you go to Clancy's?
Yeah, we went to Clancy's. About 10 to 7, the lights went out. It hit up on the hill on the strip. And naturally, the party gang, they wanted to go somewhere else, so we come across town, a couple blocks away here. They didn't have any power, so we went from that place around the corner to one of the guy's apartments, and in the car is when I heard it hit Newton Falls. So we went in the house, and one of the women that was with me, Connie, used to work for the Howland Police. She was a dispatcher. So she got them on the phone, tried to find out what kind of damage was done in Newton Falls. And naturally, nobody knew anything. Power, you know, phones were all dead into Newton Falls and everything, so there was no communication. So they were going to go out to eat, and we were getting in the cars, and I says, hey guys, I'm not going. I says, I'm headed home if I have one. And I headed back to Newton Falls. So this was roughly 20 after 7. 7:30, somewhere in there. So I was headed up the back way, Palmyra Road, which is Warren Township. And I saw the damage that was done there. And knowing the topography of the land, I thought, oh my God, you're in trouble. So all the way home, I think I had a premonition of what I was going to see. I didn't have any idea what I was going to see, but I was pretty sure it hit that area.
Just to go back for a second, you said that you had, you know, observed the damage that had been done, you know, specifically what damage?
Oh, the houses were down, the things that came out of the houses and off the houses were stuck in trees and shrubs across the street. People, of course, were all milling around. They had come from down the road to see their neighbors' houses and all this. Wires down, trees down. It was, I mean, you knew it was bad. When you see all clothes and furniture stuck to trees on the other side of the street, I mean, it's really It took years for them to clean that mess up too. Mm-hmm. So when I got into Newton Falls, the closest I could get to my house, I turned down a side street. I couldn't go any further. I couldn't get onto my street. I had to park my car in a neighbor's yard up the corner. There was trees down, there was wires down all across the streets.
Okay.
The road.
Now, on the way into Newton Falls, are you listening to the radio?
Yeah, but I don't think I was hearing it.
Okay.
My thoughts were going.
And
but they still didn't have any specifics at that point.
Okay.
Nobody knew anything.
And again, when you're looking at all this damage and all the debris, did you ever stop and talk to anybody?
Oh, no. No, because I was just headed home. I had two animals in the house, and that's what I was worried about.
Okay. Is it dark when you're approaching?
No, not then. Probably getting dark. In May at 7:30, I think it was starting to get dark.
Okay. Did you pass any police, fire?
Not then. Not yet.
Okay.
No, I didn't have any trouble getting in. If I'd have waited any longer, I would have. Because by that time, then later on, they were all out. Electric companies, phone companies, police, everything.
Okay. So you've parked your car now.
And I ran across the street to my house, down the street and across. And it looked like a dollhouse sitting there because it was, you know, down on the ground. All the foundation blocks were gone from under it. And with that, raises your house something like 4 foot, 3 feet, 4 feet, something like that. And I can remember one of the strangest things is my neighbor is standing on my roof fixing his upstairs window because the window was blown out. And that was I can still picture him up there. But the trees were down all over the place. It was a mess. So I was worried about the dog, of course. And as I approached the house, several neighbors joined me. Because this, you know, they've already went through it, they knew it happened, so now they're coming to help me, I guess. And there was a man there who had already had a heart attack a couple years prior, and a young man who I didn't know at the time, and one of the women, and they said something about the house, I don't remember what, and I says, I don't give a damn about the house, I says, I got two animals in there. Well, the house had been pushed over, away from the driveway, and between the driveway, solid ground, and the door was something like 6-7 foot space. Debris piled up underneath it, but it was basically open, and there was no way I could reach my door. So these guys, using hand-by-hand method, they got each other, one of them, over to the door and unjammed the door, and my dog was standing in there wagging her tail, just like I come home every night, like nothing happened. So we got her out, and I said, there's a cat in there somewhere. So this young man took a flashlight. It must have been getting dark, because I remember him having a flashlight. He went in the house and he hunted all over. Well, you know, cats don't come to strangers too well anyway. But he couldn't find him. 90-some-year-old neighbor across the street told me I could stay at her place. Well, she's afraid of dogs. And I had Pixie. I wasn't about to, you know, get rid of her to stay with this Mrs. Schaefer. So I did go over there because I didn't know what to do. Everybody else's saws. You can hear sirens all over. You can hear saws. It was a nightmare. You never heard so many saws because everybody's cutting branches away from their houses and off the street. And they were already picking up debris. I didn't have debris to clean up, which is crazy. Because the garage, it took the whole thing. I had nothing but the cement slabs sitting there. The house was damaged to the point where they could not repair it, but it was there, and my possessions, most of them were inside. Some blew out the bedroom wall because it had split like you'd take a cardboard box and break it at the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I didn't have any debris to clean up. So they were all out working, and I was over at the neighbor's, and I helped her fix a window that had busted in her kitchen. The other side of the street had very little damage at the time,
mm-hmm.
to look at it. Later on, apparently the foundation shifted and screwed up a lot of the houses.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the stairways come away from walls and stuff like that, but to go in on that street and look, it looked like that side of the street hadn't been hit. But from my house clear down to Warren Road, it was just nothing. There wasn't a house standing.
Now how far is that?
Well, it's a small block, so 3/4 of the block was gone. That was three houses. One big 2.5-story house had been turned upside down, I understand. The people saw it. It just went up in the air and come back down on its top and smashed nothing but a pile of wood. Had two dogs in there. Apparently they came out of it okay. So anyway, I went on over to Mrs. Schaefer's there for a while, and all I could think of is getting to family, I guess. So about 9 o'clock, I made two trips back to the house hunting for my cat. I walked around and around calling him, and he wouldn't come. Said a few things to the neighbors, which I can't remember right now. And I finally headed back to Warren, to my brother's house. And I had the dog with me. And I pulled in the driveway, and they have naturally been trying to get me, knowing that Newton Falls had been hit. Nobody could get into Newton Falls at all. Telephone or anything. In fact, they couldn't get in. By that time, they couldn't even get in by car or on foot. This right. Mrs. Schaefer that I was staying with, her son lives up in Kinsman. He heard it happen, couldn't get through by phone, so he drove down. He was coming in Warren Road, couldn't get more than, say, 2 to 3 blocks away when the police stopped him. He crawled up onto a, what do you call it, railroad track that's behind my house. He looked down there. Now, he knew this area for 40-some years. He was a child when he lived there. He says he got up on that railroad track and looked, and he did not know where he was at. It's amazing how we use trees and houses or anything for landmarks, but subconsciously. We're not even aware of it. Because you take all that out, the following morning, my brother, sister-in-law, nephew, and his girlfriend, and I went back up there to get as much out of my house as we could so that it wouldn't get stolen or damaged worse. And after we loaded the truck and car, we found the cat too, by the way. They did. He had been out the night before but went back in the house. So they found him for me. I couldn't go in the house. My legs were shaking. Well, here's this house hanging over an empty foundation. Part of it was empty. There was some of the debris was holding sections of it up. But this house is waving up and down, and I wasn't about to go in it. But they went in it, and they found the guy. And then we loaded the cars up, my car and their truck, with what I could get. And then Ed, my brother, says, let's walk down the street, see how bad it is down there. Because Warren Road used to be just lined with big oak trees, I believe, and maples. I mean, they were so large, big things. Now none of them were there.
Let's, if we could, just go back for a second to Friday night, because I wanted to go back to your trip back to Warren. And, you know, from what you've described, it sounds like people were pretty calm and working methodically.
No, I think they were in shock. Okay. They were in shock. You do what you have to do at the time you have to do it. Uh-huh. They were out there going through their stuff. They were chopping trees. But like I said, I don't think any of us remember what we said to each other. Uh-huh. Going back, I did miss that. Going back out of Warren, it took me an hour. It took me 20 minutes to get in to Newton Falls. But coming back to Warren took me an hour.
Okay, how about, tell us a little bit about that trip back into Warren that night.
All I can remember is that just about any place, part of Arlington Road had some damage. So there was crews out, electric crews, your telephone company, you know, gas company, everybody was out. Because there was gas lines involved in this too. Of course, there was police official of some sort, you know, sheriffs, depending on where you were at, sheriff's deputies. Plus your onlookers who had to stand out in the road. I mean, I remember coming back on Palmyra And part of the problem getting through there was the people standing there. It was like a, like they were going to see the Trumbull County Fair, you know. And strangers in Newton Falls on that block I had never seen before. Of course, that was the next day. But it took an hour to come back because of, once you passed Palmyra, that one section on Palmyra, then there was no devastation the rest of the way into Warren. So actually, a 10-minute trip took me about 40 minutes, is what it amounted to, because they slowed the traffic up for the working crews. I don't remember as much as I should, because when I got held up, I remember bawling a lot as I was driving back. So I really can't picture too much, other than I know I was stopped, you know, until the traffic road cleared, and then they let one or two cars go by and so forth. But there was a lot of traffic out there too on the way back.
Were the streetlights working?
No, as a matter of fact, out of Warren they weren't. All the way up the strip. See, I got on. We discovered that when we left Clancy's, that whole section of the strip was out. Most of Warren was out, actually, because several of the areas didn't get power back for what, 3 or 4 days. Eddie and Cheryl lived on Kenmore, which is close to. They lived on the end near the strip, and they didn't have power for like 4 days. Mm-hmm. So the street lights were out, but once I get out of Warren, then I don't find any street lights. Right. Yeah, so they didn't affect me getting back.
So you make it back that night to your brother Ed's house. Mm-hmm. And what's it like when you get back there, and how are you describing to them?
I didn't have to. We sat and watched television by this time. It was all over the news. They never mentioned Newton Falls, but they showed Niles. Because as you remember, whole Trumbull County got hit, plus parts of PA. Wheatland, I guess it was called, was on TV. I, of course, described to them what I found. And they just kind of sat there. I can still remember Mark and his girlfriend Jill just sitting there like in a daze, you know, as I was telling it. It was quite a night. Mm-hmm. So the next day then, we, like I said, we listened all night long to TV because they kept showing different scenes. They never did get, like I said, into Newton Falls, I don't believe. Finally got a phone call that night from a girl in Wisconsin. She got through. Nobody at local could get through, but she got through. She found out where I was at. She'd lived in Wisconsin and heard Newton Falls got hit in Wisconsin. Locally, Newton Falls wasn't put on the local stations, which blows my mind. Mm-hmm. But it was certainly all over the country. I've understood since that it was the worst that's ever hit. There were so many of them all at one time. Mm-hmm. Hit such a wide area.
So you, then you're going back on Saturday. What's the weather like Saturday morning when you're getting ready?
Well, let's go back to Friday night, now that you mentioned weather. Driving down Palmyra, I looked up, and the moon was as beautiful as it could be. Saturday morning was beautiful. It was humid, because, fact, I don't remember what the weather report was for Saturday. But Sunday, they had tornado warnings out again. Because my sister-in-law was in that house with the wind shaking it up and down. And a relative of my brother-in-law's worked for, gosh, I can't remember what he was, a reserve something or other. And he carried around one of these little boxes, you know, gave him warnings and so forth. And he stopped by to see the house while we were there. And while he was there, he got a call on this machine that the tornado warnings were out again. And I said to my sister-in-law, let's get the heck out of here. So we didn't stay long. Mm-hmm. But there was a terrible period there, like 3 or 4 weeks, where every time we turned around, there was tornado warnings. Now, whether or not they pushed the panic button because of the one incident, I don't know. But, mm-hmm. No, that moon was beautiful Friday night, believe me. I didn't get to enjoy it, but it was there.
Yeah. Okay, so Saturday, it's a beautiful day, humid but beautiful, and you're heading back out there. What's the trip like to Newton Falls?
What's the word? Devastating, I guess, would fit it. Because now I'm with other people that are seeing it for the first time, where I had seen it the night before. And they couldn't believe it either. It was so widespread. You could understand if one block got hit or a couple of buildings, but there was so much of it. And the trip to get to my house, we had to pass several different areas that got hit, even though it was all in the same path. Down on Arlington Road, there's one section that's got had nothing but a row of trees for as far as you could see, and those had been there all my life, and all of a sudden they're gone, and that took a long time before they cleaned it up so that you couldn't, so it didn't stand out. You know, when you see a tree trunk with nothing on it, you can't miss it, but they finally got them all cut down about a year or so ago, and it didn't really look so bad. But that reminds me of another thing that we take for granted. When we got up there Saturday, now I had lived in that house for 45 years, knew that town like the back of my hand, and never once could you see a water tower on the east side of the town, the west side of town, until that Saturday morning. And my brother and I stood in my driveway and says, I said, Russ, look at that. Because my other brother came over that morning also. I says, look at that. Can you believe it? We couldn't believe it. You know, you've never seen it. And then all of a sudden, there it is. Very strange feeling. I started to say earlier about walking down the street. We turn around, we wouldn't know. If somebody had blindfolded us and took us down to that corner and took the blindfold off, we would not have known where we were at. And both my brother and I were raised in that house on that street. It just shows how much we depend on trees, bushes, houses, everything to tell us where we're at. Mm-hmm. But another thing I started to say was the birds. There was no birds because there was no trees for blocks around. I've got a neighbor right now that goes out there and would like to shoot him, or he does anything he can to chase him out of his tree because he can't stand him. I love to hear him. When you don't hear him, you know, all of a sudden they don't bother me chirping, I'll tell you, put it that way. But we take these little things for granted. The trees, that town will never be the same in my lifetime, or yours, Doug, for that matter. I've been up there several times since. I can't go down my street too often because it's still, you go down there and naturally all the debris is cleaned up now and nobody has rebuilt on that whole street from my house down. And I drive down there and all I see is my driveway and cement slab for the, you know, nobody's done anything. And it looks strange sitting in the middle of a street. The other people, I guess their driveway's there also because it was blacktopped. But it'll never be the same in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. You go up these streets, no trees. You could never see the school, high school on Center Street as you're driving up Bridge Street towards it. Now it's out there. As soon as you cross the bridge, you can see it. Mm-hmm. It's very weird.
Now, did you have problems getting into it, into Newton Falls on Saturday?
Yes. It was the same, not as bad, because most of the crews had worked all night, I gathered. I really don't remember that well.
I guess what I'm getting at is they wanted to make sure that only residents were
going.
Yes,
that's right. We were not stopped. We were not stopped for some reason, coming in the back way maybe, but we were not. Yeah, we were. I beg your pardon. It is hard to remember. There was a sheriff's deputy, and I says, my house is up there. I live there. And he says, okay, fine, go on. And we also told him the truck behind us was with us. And I guess that was good enough for him, or he probably could tell by the look on our faces, too, that we weren't out joyriding. Now, I remember we called my insurance agent, and he was stopped when he went in, and he had to show his insurance card for them to let him through. But it's amazing, they'd let a lot of people were in there that Saturday, they must have walked in, and they didn't stop the people on foot. Because, I mean, there were strangers milling around all over, walking up and down, and they saw me carrying my cat back to my car. There's people that I'd never set eyes on before. They had either Action 21 or the other one, Minican, one of them, drove up the street in a Jeep, taking pictures on Saturday. That never appeared on TV, though. Mm-hmm. But they were there. I don't remember too many crews on our street Saturday, though. Everybody that was doing it was the residents. They had Amish people come in groves that were helping clean up. Like I said, there. In fact, oh, I guess they cleaned up my backyard. Somebody said there was a lot of bricks in the backyard. By the time I had seen it the next day, there wasn't any. They had already been there and cleaned it up.
Kathy, where you left off, you were talking about the Amish people cleaning up the bricks. Was that volunteer work?
Oh yes, they apparently heard about the trouble in Trumbull County, and I can't remember how many. They said there was like 30 or 40 of them had all piled into cars or trucks or something and got there. Mm-hmm. Had somebody bring them because they're not supposed to drive. So I wasn't there at the time because we didn't get there first thing Saturday morning. To get everybody in that house together and up and showered and dressed, it took us, I would say it was 10 o'clock maybe by the time we got up there. And this had already been done before we got there. So they were there, must have been with the sunrise.
Mm-hmm. You know, when something tragic happens, like the tornado, you remember certain good things that people did, and then you remember certain bad things people did. Maybe that would be one of the good ones. But can you think of the two opposites, you know, something really nice that maybe strangers did for you, and then the opposite, maybe something that was really petty?
Well, right off of the bat, the good was the fact they, so many of them came around to me when I first got there, and the man and that boy got the dog out, the woman across the street offering for me to stay there. Other people, neighbors that were new to the neighborhood that I had never had a chance to really get to know because I worked all the time, they came over and, you know, made sure I was doing okay, wanted to know if they could do anything. But like I said, not having a debris to clean up, I think if I'd have had a mess in my backyard to clean up, they would have been there, you know. Like out behind the house, there was a great big pile of debris. It had been a swimming pool from the neighbors, and apparently their garage and part of my garage landed there, so they were going through all this stuff. And whenever he found a tool that he knew wasn't his, he assumed it was mine, so he put it up on my cement slab. So I ended up with some of the tools back. That was a day or so later. There was an awful lot of good human interest stories, I think, that came out of that that nobody, to my knowledge, ever delved into. If you're an animal lover and you had a pet in it and it came through it, and there was a lot of strange stories, they came over and told me about them. One dog, German Shepherd, was blown away, but she got him intact with a chain around his neck. One was out hunting for their dog, and finally it didn't recognize it. It walked by him, it was totally covered with mud, and she didn't even know it was hers until it started following her, and she turned around and, you know, looked at it and said, "Oh my, you know, I can't remember its name." Everybody was friendly that, like I said, that I didn't even know before, some of them. If I'd have needed help, there would have been more stories I could tell you, because the people were helping the others that did need it, some of them. Now, on the bad side of it, the neighbor who had lived next to me for 40 years, and God, he was like another father to me and his wife. We were close for all those years. In fact, they were very good to me when Mom died for the 4 years, you know, prior to this happening. We were very close. He got upset because my house was pushed up against his, and my insurance company was tying my hands. I couldn't get it demolished as soon as the contractor would have done it if they would have let me do it and butt it out. They didn't like the price, so they started hunting for somebody else to get a lower price, and I think like 2 weeks went by, and they couldn't get anywhere near the price that the local man had quoted me. So in this 2 weeks, my house is sitting right next to the neighbor's. And he was told me once, he says, I ought to sue you because you're on my land. And his wife had flowers all over the place. And naturally, my house is sitting on a lot of her beautiful geraniums. And she made a crack about that. This was like a day or two after. We were still all in shock, I know it. I know she didn't mean it at the time. You know, I came back with some remark, I don't remember now, but it hurt. Then later, after it was all over, we were just as close as we were. If I'd have stayed in that area, stayed in that neighbor, I know we'd have got along fine. But I think everybody was in a shock. They didn't know what they were saying. As far as they had to have National Guard out. Now, my house was accessible if you wanted to climb over an open area. Well, by Saturday evening, afternoon, we had it fixed so we could go in and out the front door safely. My brother, nephew, and I, and sister-in-law had fixed up a ramp-type thing up to the door so we could get in and out safely and carry stuff in and out. So that night, Saturday night, anybody could have got in there if they had wanted to. So they had to have National Guard parked right out in front of the house all night. And then the following day, I think it was, we were up cleaning up and getting stuff out of the house, and the neighbor said, come on over for a sandwich and, you know, drink, cold drink, whatever. And it got to be night when we were there. And the other neighbor was sitting there also. Here, he saw a flashlight out in his debris in the backyard. And here somebody was rifling through the stuff, see what they could get. Somebody out of the area, you know, strangers. Luckily he saw it, so he went out and stopped it. But anytime something like this happens, you've got your sticky fingered ones, you know, that go running around trying to find something for nothing. They're not stopping to think of that little bit of debris that was out there was all these people had left. Because they lost just about everything but kids' clothes.
This was happening despite the fact the National Guard was there?
Well, see, they weren't there during the daytime. They just stayed at night. And apparently, I don't know when they came, because I never saw them there. But apparently they came late. You know, they probably thought we'd take care of it. Because I was the only one that wasn't staying in the area. Uh-huh. Everybody else was either camped out in their cars, or I would or staying with the neighbors or whatever, because they still had stuff they had to go through, where I had no reason to stay there at night. And I wouldn't have stayed in that house for anything, for that matter. Uh-huh. But I don't know when they showed up, but I was told the National Guard was there for about two or three nights until my house was boarded up. See, I was the only one that they could really worry about going in, since I wasn't living there, but the house was intact, so was the stuff inside still there. Uh-huh. Even though an awful lot of it was damaged. They didn't know that. We got out anything at first that I would have been upset had it been stolen. Mm-hmm. Records, books, stereo system. Granted, it didn't work when I got it here, but at least I got it. Nobody else stole it. TVs, we got TVs out of there. You know, stuff that could have been carted off. Mm-hmm. But that's not nice, you know, when everybody goes running through to see what they can get. They're not thinking that these people have already gone through hell as it is, mm-hmm. and they're going to swipe something they can.
You said about people living out of their cars. You mean people literally were living?
I don't really know, Doug. I know people set up campers, mm-hmm. the small you know, 16 footers, and but I really don't know where my neighbors were staying. I can't picture them. Once I got the stuff out of there, like in 3 days, I never really went back up much, except when I had to with the insurance adjuster and that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember where they were at.
So you really, you faced a huge task, because here you are with this house that's totally off its, you know, foundation. And how did you go about that? What was your first priority there? What did you have to do?
Well, get the stuff out was the first priority that I didn't want, because if you got another rain, you know, the roof had a big hole in it from the chimney. When you have insurance, one of the things they require you to do is to fix it to prevent any further damage. So, which I think is silly now that I think about it, because by the time that was all arranged and I had to get a contractor up there to board the place up, we already had the stuff out of there that I wanted out, or that I could safely get out. A lot of it I was afraid to move. You got this house hanging over this hole. How could you? I didn't have the facilities to get the large refrigerator out, or the stove, or the washer and dryer that was in the basement. Somebody got it, but I didn't. I told the contractor who was going to demolish it, I said, you can have anything you can get out of there. But from what I understand, well, my neighbor, yeah, you go back to the good and the bad. I just remembered the phone calls I got at the house, at work. I forgot about that. One day, the phone rang, I'll bet 6 times. Neighbors wanting to know if they could have this and could have that. And about the third or fourth, all I could think of was vultures. The people that have known me for 45 years, it was like they were vultures. You're bringing back memories I forgot about, Doug. Because I remember getting very upset. I got over it, of course. I suppose that's why I forgot it. But no, at the time, I remember thinking, I mean, they wanted couches that were left in there. Well, the adjuster warned me that glass was everywhere. I mean, splinters of glass can go into this furniture. And even if you take it and get it professionally cleaned, they cannot swear they're going to get it all out. Mm-hmm. Okay, who would want to sit on a couch and get rammed with a splinter, for crap's sake? Mm-hmm. You know, because that glass was even under the cushions. Mm-hmm. It was amazing where it went and how it went. It was little. I had an end table that was just pitted from little pieces. It had to be little tiny pieces of glass. You couldn't see big hunks laying around it, so it had to be little slivers that hit this, which also is amazing. How did the dog come through it without? I could see the cat moving fast enough, but how did my dog come through this without getting worse injured? I think she might have been internally, but nobody seemed to. Something happened to her, but on the outside looking at her, she didn't have a cut or a mark on her. So, but I forgot what you asked me, Doug. I told you I'd start rambling.
No, well. We were just in general, I mean, we were just talking in general. It,
oh, you want to know what I had to go through, I guess, to
get
the task of cleaning up or taking care of it.
We went through your priorities and
like. Well, your insurance agent or adjuster kind of helps to a certain point, even though he was an idiot. Yes, go ahead.
Well, no, the only thing I was going to ask is, I mean, obviously with all this devastation, were you able to get even fast service from them, or was it
not for mine? No. That's why I no longer have them. Some of the people in that neighborhood were getting checks written out to them the following day. If you look at an insurance policy now that you're a homeowner, there's 4 figures across there that you're paying for. The price of the house, any buildings on the house like a garage, personal possessions, and the other one is called something like loss due to personal use. Wait a minute, I can't remember. Anything that's going to cost you, like if you have to go rent an apartment until your house is repaired, buying food because you can't go in and cook, that type of stuff. I can't remember what it's called now. But you add up those four figures going across the board, and these people were getting the checks for the whole bottle of wax. Everything I got was depreciated and cut down and chewed out and spit out. And I don't know, these people ended up with homes that you wouldn't believe. You saw that one picture I showed you of this little house that was turned upside down on the roof?
Yes.
That thing wasn't bigger than a half the size of this house, and this is a small house. Mm-hmm. She has got it now, a beautiful ranch style. The people on the other side of Newton Falls, the west side, I understand, I didn't go out there. They have built what some people refer to as mansions because they got insurance money and was able to go for it. I didn't even know until the last minute how much of a house I could afford. I finally had to threaten them with a lawyer. And I finally got him there. In fact, I had another insurance friend that was fighting for me. He said I was getting ripped off. I don't know if you remember, but there was a lot of in the paper and a lot of talk about the appliances that went through this because of the power surge. If you had take a TV and plug it in, the thing could explode. If you had plug in your washer and dryer, you could end up getting on fire. All right. All of this stuff was damaged except the TVs. I had two portable TVs that did not get harmed, at least on the outside, outward looking. The rest of it was just jumbled around so bad and dented even from other things hitting it, that I said to the jester, I don't have to take these out of here, do I? We even discussed the fact that, like, the refrigerator was a very large one, it wouldn't have been safe to try to get it out of there. So I put it on my list of items lost, personal possessions lost. I got a, you know, depreciated figure out of it. So when I got done with like a $13,000 list, I ended up with like $5,000 for it or something on this order. I don't remember the exact figures. But that was all due to poor insurance agent, because the next insurance agent I got, he says you get replacement value.
Right.
If anything happens now, I'm going to get the cost what it's worth, not depreciated 10 times or something. I mean, I had stuff in the basement, Doug, that my parents had that had to be over 50 years old, that was in a cabinet that we couldn't get it open because the house was sitting on it. There was a silver tray, silver platter in there. How could you put a price on a silver platter? So I didn't get anything for it. Things that I could have sold at a garage sale that I might have got $15 out, I couldn't list because they wouldn't put a price on. So all in all, I lost, and plus you never remember everything.
Right.
I can still sit here and possibly next week something will crop up. I'll say, where is that thing I used to have? And then I, you know, find out, oh, that was gone. That's not here. It was at the other house. That went on for the first couple years here quite a bit. So it's things that people don't stop to think about, that we take so much for granted, that you have a house that's supposed to protect you from the elements and your possessions, and that it can be gone in, what, 30 seconds, 60 seconds? Doesn't take much more than that, I guess.
Now, you said you were there for a couple of days afterwards. You were there for Saturday, and then maybe, did you go back Sunday?
Yeah, we were there Sunday. I think we had to go. Then we had to go to work Monday, but I think there was a couple evenings that Cheryl and I, my sister-in-law, and I went up to get as much out of there as I could. Clothes, dishes. Now, that's something that you hear stories about, strange things that happen in a tornado. The house was pushed eastward and then stopped when it hit the neighbor's house. Okay, that sudden jar, everything continued going, the momentum. Records in that one room was all on the center of the floor, you know. Kitchen cupboards, the doors were flung open, dishes out on the floor, out on the cupboard, busted. But my mother had a very good set of dishes that we only use twice a year. Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know how that goes. There wasn't one of them chipped, not one of them cracked. I still have the set. Just packed it up and put it away a couple weeks ago to give me room in the cupboard. Pictures that were on the wall, on the east west wall, that should have fallen like everything else did. There were baby pictures that Mom treasured, one of myself, one of my two brothers, in the oval frames. They were still hanging right on the wall. Never, didn't look like I even jarred them. I mean, very weird things like this went on. But I was one of the lucky ones. I didn't lose anything that couldn't be replaced. The insurance, I think I had as much headache with the insurance. It was as much hassle for my insurance after this was over as it happening to begin with. In fact, looking back, it lasted so much longer with the insurance because I hassled with them for 2 to 3 months. That I think it was as bad as the tornado actually destroying the house.
All the red tape.
Yeah, you couldn't believe it. I spent hours making a list of things that were supposed to, you know, that were lost. Like the garage gone, everything in the garage was gone. I had an air conditioning unit from Sears that was supposed to be getting picked up that next Saturday, that day after. The repairman was coming out to pick it up. I can't remember now if I, because I had a warranty, they were going to replace the whole unit, or if he was going to repair it and then I had to pay for the repair. I can't remember just how that was. But when he came out Saturday, there was no garage and no air conditioning unit, so I got nothing out of that.
He came out the Saturday after the tornado?
I think so. It was just a few days. I can't remember just when. It must have been a weekday. Because I think it was work when I got a call from Sears. And they says, we went out to get your unit. You know, where do you live? I says, hey, the house is gone, buddy. The garage is gone. You know, of course the unit's gone. Somebody said there was one laying several blocks up on the railroad track. Well, I couldn't have carried it back myself, so it just stayed there. I don't know who, it didn't work anyway. But had I had it, I would have ended up with a good air conditioning unit once they repaired it for me. But so that insurance company, you know, I tried the stereo system when I got it to my brother's house. It did not function properly. I got the receiver, I've got the cassette deck, and the turntable. The cassette deck and the turntable did not function. I told the adjuster about it. I says, it isn't working. I should be able to list this on, well, if you've got it, you know, why are you listing it? You know, hey, it doesn't work, buddy. Okay, put it on the list, he finally said. Oh God, at first he was nice, and then he got nasty. So I ended up putting it on the list. And then when they get done depreciating this whole thing, you know, boom. So you end up with a pittance out of it. But as it turned out, it was able to be fixed, but I didn't tell him that.
Raise it.
But there was a lot of things that I just, the insurance, like I said, that demolition, what's the word they use to get rid of the house? I can't think of it. Because they ended up totaling it. They knew that they could not repair it. Well, it took them 4 days, the adjuster and an engineer, to decide they could not repair this house. So that was 4 days, you know, where everybody else is walking around with money in their pocket to start. When they finally made up their mind they could not repair this house, by the time I tried to get a contractor, they were already tied up. I would have waited, I'll bet you, 5-6 months to get a house rebuilt. So all in all, I think that was part of the reason I started hunting in Warren. Since I worked here, rather than rebuild on the land, I decided to relocate. And they played a cutie on that too. They did not tell me when I was house hunting that once you find a home, you will get in money the difference between what you pay for that house and what the cash value of your home was worth. In other words, what I'm saying, Doug, is I could have got a $50,000 home and they would have paid for it. Mm-hmm. But they didn't tell me that. They did not tell me that. Mm-hmm. So I stuck with the cash value of the other house. I was afraid to go anywhere near over it. So I got a house that was equivalent. I could have got more, but they would not tell me that until I signed the contract for this house. I believe it was August 31st. Well, it was on a Thursday night. I signed the contract for this house. The following Saturday morning, I got a phone call. I was still living at N. Charles. He told me then that they'd pay me the difference, you know, and it was already signed. I think he found out how much and knew that they weren't going to be out more than like $2,000, I think is what they ended up giving me the difference. Had I known that, hey, I could have got a nice house, mm-hmm. like everybody else ended up with.
Yeah. So you were out of your house for about 3 months until you finally signed the papers. Is that right?
Yeah, because it was the first week in September that I got in here. The people did not need the 30 days, I don't believe, to get out. I can't remember when I moved in. I thought it was beginning of September. I know they didn't take the whole 30 days, but it had to be later in September, mm-hmm. I would assume.
When was the last time you saw your house in Newton Falls whole, or what was left of it?
Yeah, what was left of the little dollhouse. God, I can't remember.
Or in other words, how many times did you end up going back? Roughly.
Roughly, say, count the times we went to get stuff out. That must have been 6 or 7. I know I had to go up there with the adjuster. I was up there when Baker Construction boarded it up. And then when they were getting ready to demolish it, we wanted the wood, since I paid for the wood. I wanted the wood because my brother needed it to build a bedroom in the basement for his nephew, or for my nephew, so that I could live in their house. So I went back up that time. And that's when couple of guys were with me, friends from work, and my sister-in-law. They went in the basement, which was hazardous, just a walk in there. And they got a few other things out of there. I had a beer mug collection, and a lot of them were in the basement. They got, some were smashed. But they found several that were intact and brought those out. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably 10 to 15 trips, I suppose, all in all.
Did the city officials from Newton Falls ever contact you for any reason?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, while this insurance company was tying my hands, getting it demolished and the hole filled up, I was getting nasty letters from the city of Newton Falls. I was raised in that place, lived there for 45 years, and all I heard was, get this mess cleaned up, to put it bluntly. I mean, it was about that nasty. They didn't say, hey, what is the problem? Do you need help? You know, it was, hey, get this taken care of. It's a hazard, which it was. And I didn't like it either. I was still paying insurance on it. If anybody had gotten injured, it would have been up to me, insurance company, to pay for it. It was my insurance company that tied my hands. Like I said, if they would have left me go, they first told me to get somebody to take it down. And when I started to, Ed Kolatz out of Newton Falls would have had that down in 2 days. And there'd have been no problem. The hole filled up, the whole bit. Nope. Insurance company didn't like the figures, so they took 2 weeks or longer. And in the meantime, I'm getting this letter from city of Newton Falls. It's your responsibility to clean this up, you know. Hey, fella, I never answered. I never called him or said anything. Mm-hmm. When you stop and think, 2 years later, there was still a mess up there on Bridge Street. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they yelled at anybody up there to get it, or did they just pick on somebody they knew wasn't staying there? Mm-hmm. See, I wasn't staying in Newton Falls. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I did not like the way it was handled at all. Of course, at that time, you're touchy.
Right.
Didn't take much to set me off back in those days. Mm-hmm. I guess I was feeling put upon or something. Mm-hmm. But I thought it could have been handled with a little more grace, a little more tact.
So the city never actually contacted you to say, hey, what can we do for you?
No. The only thing I got out of them was when I thought about rebuilding, I had to call the city engineer, I think it was, and ask about rebuilding on that lot, because It was only 45 feet across, and the ordinance said it had to be 50. Mm-hmm. And he says that is only for new residents. If you have owned that land, you had a house upon it, you still could rebuild on it, which was nice. But as it turned out, like I said, they tied my hands so long, I lived down here going for 3 months, and before I got the money out of the insurance company, I decided, hey, my friends are down here, part of my family's down here, my work's down here, why don't I start hunting for a house down here? Uh-huh. So then I found this one, and otherwise I had plans drawn the Sunday after the tornado went through. Uh-huh. Like I said, you're in shock.
Right.
But I had plans drawn of the new house I wanted built. Then I decided against it. I kind of wished I had. Part of me does, part of me doesn't. I would not have wanted to walk out of that house and have no trees. It looks like my neighbor that's still there said, he walks out of his door and he says, I didn't know I lived on a farm before. You know, he walks out his door and all he sees is bare land clear up the Warren Road. So as far as the decision of relocating, it's it was a hard adjustment because you're used to those people. We were a very friendly neighborhood. I could have went in six directions and got help if I needed it. Mm-hmm. There was several men in the neighborhood that knew that I was alone that kept an eye on the house when I wasn't home. Made you feel secure, you know. If something would have happened when I was not there, like a fire or something, somebody would have, you know, spotted it pretty darn quick and turned it in. So coming into this new neighborhood, there was only one neighbor that made themselves friendly and approached me, and they're the only ones I knew yet. Because I figured after I was here for a while, I thought if they don't want to meet me, I don't care, I'm not going to meet them.
Yeah.
So I do miss the neighborhood. It was quite an adjustment coming here. I'd look out the window and you never see anybody you know. Uh-huh. Where Newton Falls, you'd sit in a living room and or in the patio and cars are going by or people walking by you could chit chat with. So the whole thing was quite an adjustment. Not just losing the house, but making the choice of relocating was quite an adjustment.
Well, I want to thank you for doing the interview. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Sorry you had to go through the experience. Thanks.